You're listening to WKXL in the Morning on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, and nhtalkradio.com. I'm your host, AJ Kierstead. I'm excited to be joined today by Concord Patch's Tony Schnella. He has moderated and essentially done all the organization when it comes to a series of municipal debates for the city of Concord that happened the last couple of weeks, partnered with WKXL and Concord TV. Firstly, thank you so much for putting these on. It was great for community engagement.
Well, thank you for broadcasting them. You know, one of the things that we don't realize all the time is while everybody's encouraged to vote in the presidential elections and vote in the midterms, really the most important races that we have to choose from during election season are city and school races. And they're some of the lowest turnout races, unfortunately. So anything that we can all do in the media to highlight those candidates who are brave enough to put their names on the ballot, make sure that the public knows about when to vote and what the issues are, the better. So I'm really grateful that we could partner on this one. And also with Concord TV, who just did yeoman's work getting it all together with me.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It is very important. I mean, we're talking school boards, we're talking your city government, the people that make sure the roads are cleared off in the winter, the people that make sure the teachers are getting paid and
roads are paved. Yeah, roads. If you're dying, the firefighters come to save you. You know, if your house is being broken into, the cops are here. I mean, we really can't. We really have to be engaged in those direct issues that are right in our backyards.
Now, let's start off with like one of the more interesting things when it comes to this election. So today is election day, actually, for starters. We should reinforce today's election day. It's November 2nd.
Polls are open till 7.
Yeah. So be sure to check out if you're outside of Concord, it's your election day too. Go to your city government site. If you're in Concord, go to ConcordNH.gov. All the election information is posted there, including you can see it's probably the same for most cities nowadays and towns in the area. You can check out the sample ballots of what you'll actually be seeing when you show up in the booth. So please check that out. Get out and vote. It's very important. It's very important to make sure you have a say in what's going on with your local government. Concord is in a unique situation because of the Concord School Commission. Can you give like a high level overview? We did a 20-minute podcast on a radio episode on this previously, but what is the Concord School Commission and what's going on with the candidates for it this
cycle? So every 10 years now, and I'm presuming it will be 10 years from this time period as well, the school administration unit 8, which is the Concord School District, which covers about 85% of the city, Penacook and half of Ward 2 are in the Merrimack Valley School District in the north part of the city. So they have a town meeting form of government in Penacook and Salisbury and Webster. All of those people attend a town meeting in March, get an up or down vote on school budget, teacher contracts, whether or not to build new buildings, that type of thing. The rest of the city voters, 85% who are in the Concord School District, don't really have the ability to be able to do that and haven't since the 1960s. And if people want to search my article, they can check it out. I did a pretty thorough overview on the history, sorted history of the Concord School Charter Commission process. And that gives people kind of the overview. But so there are two competitive races this year for Charter Commission. The winners will spend the next year looking at the school district charter, whether to change it, update it, or make any kind of adjustments to it. They will present a report, and then we will all get to vote on that report in November 2022. There are only two competitive races. There are five candidates running for two seats in wards 1, 2, 3, and 4. There are still some Concord School District voters in Ward 1 and Ward 2. So the wards are split between two school districts, which is kind of strange. It's not like anywhere else in the country, to be honest. We also have an autonomous school district in Concord. So they get to set their own budgets and taxes without any oversight from anyone else. And there's also a competitive race for three seats with five candidates running citywide. So there's no reason not to go to the polls, because there every ward and city voter has a competitive races. So the rest of the seats are non-contended. There are two candidates in the other district seats, so they will be automatically will go to the Charter Commission. One of the things I found, which was a little odd, but not that odd, was that in both debate series with the District A candidates and the citywide candidates, the majority of the people don't want to change anything. They want to do a little bit of tweaks on what to do with candidates. They do not want to change autonomy. They're concerned about allowing the public to be able to have an up or down vote on things like a new middle school. And even a couple of times when I challenged those candidates to say, there are excellent school systems all over the state where the residents vote up or down on union contracts and on buildings and on school budgets, and they're still excellent school systems. And even then, some of the candidates were like, well, I don't care. I don't think we should change it. So that is very disheartening, I think, because a majority, no matter who wins, a majority of the nine people will not be promoting or convinced to promote the ability for Concord residents to have what they had in the 1960s and for decades before that, the ability to vote up or down on line items.
When it comes to the results of the current situation, I mean, do you think it's current? It's just because it's going pretty well. I mean, the biggest things that have stood out in the press have been the instances of sexual assault and such at the high school, primarily. That's been the big thing that's gotten any real press when it comes to it. It doesn't seem like we have the big outrage from the recent culture war when it comes to critical race theory and things like that. When it comes to the school district, part of it's probably because Concord probably leans a bit left because it's a bigger town/city. How much impact do you think that has on the candidate's desire to make any real change?
That's a great point. The city, I always used to say when I was a boy in the 1980s, and I was born here, moved around, and then moved back, and then moved around, and then moved back. So I've been here for a long period of time, off and on, at different times of my life. And it's always been kind of a Rockefeller Republican or liberal Republican city. It's hard to, we like to, we had a state senator McLean for a long period of time. She's one of the city's icons. She was a Republican, and nobody really remembers that. They don't remember Elizabeth Hager, who was mayor for one or two terms, I believe, and was a longtime state rep, was a Republican. Now the Republican Party has changed in different ways over the years, and lots of people have moved into the city. So it's about a 60-40 liberal moderate conservative split, I would say. So you do not have those kinds of outrage things like you said. At the same time, we have a responsibility, I think, to allow parents and taxpayers to have some say in how their money is spent, and especially on large projects like the $90.8 million elementary school consolidation project, which was approved 7-2 by the school board. There were many people in the community who didn't dare say anything about the knocking down of historic buildings because they didn't want to be out of the cocktail crowd. And I just don't think that's right. So even if it were, and the other thing with the middle, and so now we have a similar thing with the middle school,
right,
where a third of the building is 30 years old. It was priced at $68 to $80 million, depending on the configuration, before all of this inflation stuff happened, which means that now it's going to be much higher.
Oh, it's going to be it's way going to go up higher with supplies, getting actual workers to show up. It's going to be crazy. Yep.
A third of the building is about 30 years old. And the other side of the building is less than 60 years old. So it isn't something that really should be knocked down. They don't want to put money into it to renovate it, to give it a little bit more life. And at the same time, we don't really know what the pulse of the community is to pay on top of already paying for the elementary schools in with more property taxes. We don't know what the state aid is going to be. And even if you don't believe that people should have the direct ability to be able to decide those things, it would be really good to get a sampling of what people really think. And many of the people I hear who support a new middle school, their kids are not going to be in it, and they think they are. That's the trajectory of the timeline to build the building. So, you know, that by the time their kids are going to graduate high school before that building is done, and then they're going to be looking at a bill that has projected for another 30 plus years, another $90+ million in some of already the most expensive property taxes in the state based on, you know, the per thousand valuation. So it's very complicated, but you get, you know, as well, AJ, when you talk to people, you get to hear what they think, and you can sample random conversations with all kinds of sources and guests and get a feel for what a lot of people think. And that's not a bad thing. You are more educated as a host. The board would be more educated as representatives if they had an idea of what a lot of people in the community thought about that expense and whether it was worth it. Now, I want to caveat this with one more quick thing. Education is changing. If we learned anything from the coronavirus pandemic, kids are learning C++ coding in clay huts in Africa to compete against our kids. We can do almost anything anywhere remotely. So the money really shouldn't be spent on buildings, even in ancient old New Hampshire with all these old school buildings. It really needs to be spent on programming and direct services to children to have them educated in whatever they want to be and do, because they don't know what the future holds. And we don't know what the new jobs are going to be in 20 years, never mind five. And we're not preparing for any of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm shocked that the Concord School District hasn't joined up with the university for the iLearn initiative, which is across the state. I mean, to be able to get into Canvas and such as an LMS instead of these Google Classroom things, which are just, they're not good. As someone with a technology background, that's the way
And real quick, we're doing great things though. We have a charter school online. So, you know,
that's a shock. I'm so happy to hear that.
BLAX is doing a great job. If you have two kids that want to take calculus, they can take calculus online. You don't have to pay a teacher $80,000 or $90,000 a year to teach the two kids. So that's progress. You have a great CRTC program at Concord High School, which should be expanded to three or four times the size of it is. We have all these kids pouring into that school to learn construction trades and automotive and criminal justice and graphic design, all of these early childhood education, all of these careers that we know we're going to need people for, nursing, everything, cooking. It's great. And we need to expand that program. And it's not that expensive to do it. Just that's where the building comes in. You physically need to have the building, something like that. But we're not thinking, you know, when you look at spending $90 million on a new middle school that isn't really that old, we're not looking at 50 or 100 years. We're looking at immediacy, and it's really the wrong way to go, I think.
Okay, in the last 6 or so minutes here, I want to dive into what's going on with the mayor situation here, and that's up for election today. Also, the incumbent Jim Boulay versus Taylor Hall, who's a recent transplant to the area. What was your takeaways from that debate?
Well, I think that this has been one of the more serious challenges to the mayor this time around. While Taylor Hall did not know everything he needed to know about being mayor, he was one of only, I think, two candidates to challenge Jim Boulay, who's never been arrested or convicted of a crime. You know, so that there was that angle. He did have some ideas. He doesn't want the police officer to wear body cams, which is a bit different. They had similar positions on a lot of things.
Candidate didn't want body cams?
Taylor Hall. Yeah.
Okay.
He was against the idea of body cams. I think that was one of like maybe two or three questions that they differed on. They both had, he too had a lot of housing ideas about zoning and things like that, that needed to change in the city. So he wasn't as prepared as he could have been, but he was more prepared in some ways than prior candidates. One interesting thing was he said that he was inspired to run due to the apathy of the previous election and neither the mayor or the challenger spending any money. And yet he did not spend a lot of money either or raise money. And so that was kind of okay. But it is a weak mayor system in Concord where we have a strong city manager. So there isn't a lot of the elections don't tend to be contentious, but you want them to at least be challenged. So, you know, Ward 1 voters have a competitive city council race, Ward 5 voters do too. And then you have all the at-large charter commission and school board races, and then the mayor. So there's all kinds of reasons to vote. Jim Boulay also came to the debate prepared. He had a list of accomplishments that he has been working on for many, many years and presented things that he knows the city needs to work on.
Yeah, I mean, Boulay is, he's very integrated into the community. Everyone knows who he is. He's a lawyer, so he's got that background that stands
out.
He's not a lawyer. Oh, okay.
He's a lobbyist.
Oh, he's a lobbyist. My mistake. He doesn't have a JD?
He does not. No.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute. I need to find that out. I don't believe so. No.
Okay. Well, he may or may not have a JD, but he's a lobbyist. A lot of lobbyists have a JD because they work with the legal systems, reason why I jumped to that conclusion. I mean, what's Taylor Hall's professional background? Do you know?
I do not know.
It's
that would have been a good question to ask. one thing too, here's the other thing real quick though. We are going to have more Taylor Hall like candidates because the city is changing. There are new people moving here. And a lot of the new people do not like the old guard and they want specific things done. And we can argue whether that's good or bad. I'm not going to say that, but this is the future. It is going to be this way. We have a lot of new people coming to the community. And I hate to say, you know, they're stompy feet political activists who want what they want, but we're going to see a lot more because Taylor Hall was not that. But we are going to see a lot more people get involved.
And it's a lot of the same names. It's a lot of the same names. I mean, Tom Aspel obviously does a lot when it comes to how the city is actually run.
He runs the city.
Yeah. Yep. And then Boulay is kind of the public face for getting everything out there and showing up to show off what's going on with the city.
Yeah.
Their relationship seems to be come across at least publicly. I don't know, interpersonal, but publicly it comes across really well. And they give a really positive look in with the Main Street project and everything like that. He's got a strong resume for continuing on.
Yep. And the other thing is too, is that we really have to get to the point in the city where a lot of the new people who are coming here, as well as the old people who don't get involved, choose to get involved.
Right.
All of those 13 races on the city council and mayor should all be competitive every 2 years, and they're not. And that's really disappointing. Now, some people will say, well, we think everything's okay. But you know what? I read patch readers online and what they say, and I talk to people every day, and there are lots of people who are very concerned about the direction of the city, even though there's a lot of positive things going on. But when it comes to an election, they don't get out there.
And that laziness kind of leads to a good old boys attitude, which New England is infamous for, which we definitely want to avoid. You want to have discourse. You want to have candidates coming up, bringing up different changes that you want to see in city government, because technology changes, the demographics change in town. There seems like there's hopefully more families kind of coming to the area, which is nice. And that's going to have impacts when it comes to school, comes to business and anything like that. All right.
True.
Thank you so much for joining me, Tony Schnell of the Concord Patch.
Thank you so much, AJ. And thank you to WKXL for broadcasting all of the election audio for voters to hear what was going on. Get out and vote, people.
Yes, it's election day. Go check out your city website, which is concordnh.gov. If you're in Concord, which we held the municipal debates, they're all available on demand at nhtalkradio.com. You're listening to WKXL in the morning.